Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we are here at the NHL Scouting Combine. We got to talk to a very special guest today.
We certainly do. The Director of Amateur Scouting for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Mark Leach, will join us, Adam. And, you know, we'll see if we can drag out of him who that number one pick might be. Is it going to be Gavin McKenna, the Wizard of Whitehorse? Is it going to be Ivar Stenberg, who, of course, we know had an unbelievable season in Frölunda at the World Championships? Or will it be a defenseman, Adam?
It's interesting. They are in the catbird seat, so to speak. And Mark said, you know, he's been doing this a long time. Long time scout with the Detroit Red Wings, long time amateur scout with the Dallas Stars, helped build those teams to where they were on the cusp of championships. Now he's doing it in Toronto as the head of amateur scouting. And, you know, to have this number one pick kind of fall into their laps, it's quite an opportunity for them to change the course of their franchise. That's what a number one pick brings to you. There's a lot of pain to get there, certainly what the Maple Leafs went through, but it's a real opportunity there for them to make a big impact on the franchise, not just next season, but for 5, 10, 15 seasons down the road.
Yeah, Mark is always gracious with his time with us, Adam, each year here at the Combine, whether it was with Dallas, whether it was with Detroit, and now with Toronto. So it's always nice to have him here. He's a breath of fresh air. We can discuss the Combine with him, talk about the players. So it's all great stuff. And look, you know, you look at the top of this draft, Toronto being able to win the draft lottery on May 5th was a great feather in their cap. So let's see what they can do with that pick. You and I feel it's going to be McKenna. Let's see if we can draw it out of Mark Leach. Mark, always great to see you. Between top fours, McKenna and Stenberg, what areas matter most to your group? Is it creativity? Is it NHL pace? Could it be translatable habits away from the puck?
I would say it's all the above. Look at these players at the top end of the draft. They all do have high-level skill, IQ, skating ability. They think the game so well. And two, about all these players, they're competitive. That's one thing that's huge, is the competitiveness of these guys and what they do every day, both on and off the ice, to take the next step. So it's those elements. We're still trying to figure that one out.
So you've seen, you know, Gavin, you've seen Ivar, you've seen all the top prospects. You've met with several of them. How close, when you guys leave here on Saturday and go back to Toronto, do you want to have it locked in who's you're going to take at number one? Or how close is the goal to be to having it locked in?
It won't be locked in. We will be discussing it. After this week, we'll be rehashing it. I think in a situation, you want to be able to take the time. We have the time, so why not take it to dig back in and keep going over and making sure you're making the right decision for the organization.
Giving fans a little bit of your background here, which is extensive. I'm probably showing your age, too.
Thanks.
So you served 11 seasons on the Dallas Amateur Scouting staff. Before that, 20 seasons with the Red Wings. What to you are maybe the most important elements to choosing a player you feel will ultimately play an NHL role?
I guess you look at a multiple of abilities for these young players. Is obviously, these kids today, they all have high skill. They all can skate. You look at the intangibles, their makeup, their background. You got to dig in a little bit on all these players, find out where they're from, how they've gone through their development stages at various levels, and then, you know, the character plays a part in everything. And you learn over time. You learn over the last. I've learned over the last 30 years with some great mentors that have helped me look at these things and go after these things and find out about these things to help you make the best decision. And you don't do it overnight. You do it over the year. And again, we still have time to make those final decisions that will help us do the right thing, hopefully.
Absolutely. Time is, if you've got it, use it. But whoever the team ultimately ends up choosing, is it someone that you think should be able to step right into the Maple Leafs lineup from opening day next season? Is that an imperative?
No, it's not an imperative. It doesn't have to be. It's not my decision to make, to be frankly honest with you. It's up to the GM and our coaching staff to make that decision. Our job, I think, as amateur scouts, is to get the organization the best possible player. And that's throughout the whole draft. That's from first round through seventh round. And have that player play for them, or it becomes an asset as well. Players you pick later on, as you see, trades are made, and in order to be able to make good trades for your organization, you have to have good players in there and good assets. So that's our job, is to get the very best assets we can, and let the people make those decisions going forward.
Yeah, along those same lines, Mark, at number one overall, are you more inclined to maybe take the player with the highest ceiling, or the one you believe has the highest probability of becoming maybe a difference maker very quickly?
I think at that level, what we're talking with these players here is they all have high ceilings. All of them have that high ceiling. They all have the ability to make an impact on your team, in the league. It's a man's league. These kids are 17, 18 years old. It takes time. I think if you look back at all the number ones, it's hard playing against, physically hard playing against these men for 82 games. And, you know, they have some struggles, some battles to go through. They got to learn at the level. It's very important to learn what to do at that level, and it takes time. It takes time for them.
That being said, do you feel that there might be a player in this draft that's NHL ready?
I think there's a cluster of players that are somewhat NHL ready. Their skill set and IQ gives them that. Sometimes their size and their physical strength gives them that. But they're all going to need time to grow and mature and develop.
So we always talk about tiers, certain levels. How many players are in this tier? When you're sitting there at number one, how many players are legitimately in that number one potential tier?
I'm not going to give that answer up. Good question, yes. But...
we always try to get that.
I know you try to dig, and I...
Fair enough.
you know, I'll keep that one close to my vest.
Fair enough.
So I guess maybe along those same lines, how do you weigh positional value versus simply taking the best available player?
I think it weighs. I think you have to look sometimes at the needs of your organization, depending on where you're picking in the draft, how high you're picking the draft, what you think you need. We all want the best player. We all want somebody who's going to have impact with our organization throughout their career. So I think you look at that and you discuss these cluster of players that really might have a good impact in going forward. It's a hard decision. It's something that we have to take our time with and let the chips fall where they may, and it'll take care of itself.
So aside from analyzing the players, you've also had to get to know John Chyka, new general manager, Matt Sundin, new senior advisor. How has it been building that relationship and jibing sort of what you've done and what your staff has done until that point when Brad Treliving was let go and John brought in, versus, you know, that philosophy versus now what John has brought to the table and what Matt has brought to the table as far as what they prioritize?
You know, they've been great. I had an opportunity to meet with them and talk with them. They've been in our amateur meetings that we had a couple weeks ago and discussed things with them. Been around a long time. So, yeah, they bring what they think we need. They discuss it with us. I think they've been great with us and what we need to put out forward as players and who we think are the best available talent for us and for them. So they've been easy to deal with. Guys who've been around a while, really helped us out quite a bit.
From a philosophical standpoint, are there distinct similarities where, you know, you guys in your group have an eye on, look at certain players certain ways, and John and Matt see similarities?
Yeah, there are very much so. Definitely some similarities, and again, it's skill, it's IQ, character, competitiveness. They're very similar. I don't think that changes a lot within organizations. I think those are the key attributes that you're looking for in players and people. And I think we align that same way together as a group.
The combine has always been such a great event, and Adam and I have always said that the interviewing stage is the most compelling part of the combine. Yeah, the testing is there, but I know for most scouts, it's let's see them push. How far are they going to push as far as the testing goes? But the interviewing really, I don't know, you tell me, does it make or break? Could it make or break a player if you're teetering between one or two?
You know, these kids have been great. They really have. I've seen over the years that they've maybe have been a little bit, agents have battle tested them a little bit, if you will. We get that. But we're trying to get them in a more comfortable situation. Throw a few jokes at them if we can. Get them to loosen up a little bit. Tell us about their family, their background. Maybe dig in on another player that they played with in the team, or give a little joke about that to just ease them up a little bit. Get them into a comfort zone with us. It's great to hear some great stories about where they came from, their families, their background. Those types of stories really gives a little insight to the makeup and why the players gotten to where they got to today, being here at the combine.
I'm just curious, because we hear stories the kids tell us they get some doozy questions.
These kids are, you know, they get a gazillion questions over time. Their agents go after them. The coaches deal with them. There's not a really particular question. Maybe we'll try to get them to loosen up. We'll tell them that we talked to a player and their teammate, and they said this about you. And, you know, they said he's a lot tougher than you or a lot meaner than you. And, you know, we'll zing them around a little bit, get them to loosen up and take it slow. But it's nothing major. Nothing major.
How impressed have you been the way the combine has evolved over the years?
Well, it's nice being in a rink like this where there's more size. We're back in the day, we're in hotel rooms, you know, in tight quarters, and even doing the testing where we were in a ballroom as opposed to being in a really big layout, which is really beneficial to us. So it's evolved. It's been done, run smoothly. The NHL's done a great job. Central Scouting's done a great job at it. So it makes it easier for us to do it in one location to meet as many players as possible.
Mark, thank you so much for taking time to join us today on NHL Draft Class. This is great stuff.
Thank you very much.
When you think about having the number one pick, there's always thoughts, will a team actually trade a pick if they're not going to take the best available player in that spot? You and I feel the best available player is Gavin McKenna. Now, Mark obviously didn't give up that information for us, unfortunately.
We tried.
But, you know, we tried to work around the edges. It just didn't pan out for us. But besides that fact, you know, Toronto's going to keep this pick, and I do feel they're taking McKenna because, look, I know he plays left wing, but as far as franchise-defining, a player that's going to have an impact possibly next season, we shall see. I think this is the guy you have to go with. I know there are a ton of defensemen out there that have shown a lot, including some offensive defensemen, some physical-type guys, and then you have the center and Caleb Malhotra, who a lot of people feel is going to go top three in this draft. But to me, I think the Leafs are going to stick with McKenna here.
Well, when you get to be in a position where you have the number one pick in the draft, you clearly have several holes, and one player is never going to solve all of your problems. That being said, you take the best player available, and in my mind, I think in your mind as well, it's Gavin McKenna. Now, obviously, championship teams are built through the middle, center, defense, goaltending, and the Leafs certainly need help in those areas. But when you have the number one pick, you take the best player available. You don't think about moving it unless the return is something spectacular. Take the pick. Take the player you think is best. If they think it's Gavin McKenna, that's the guy.
The interesting thing, too, is when I did ask Mark about if there are a number of NHL-ready players in this draft, didn't give us a specific number, but he did say yes, there could be a few that would be NHL-ready. And I guess, and we know this, it's all depending on what team needs are, the club organization they're going to, where the holes are, all that comes into consideration in the draft. But in the case of McKenna, you're looking at a player that's going to impact your top two lines most likely immediately next year in the NHL. And even when we had McKenna and Stenberg on a recent episode of the NHL Draft Class that you can listen to, McKenna did tell us, you know, he's always played a level up, always played 2 years up. So he's used to this. He's used to playing against bigger, stronger men. I think Toronto makes this pick, and that McKenna can maybe go next season and have maybe a 50, 60, 70-point season.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put it up that high, but I think he certainly has the ability to be an impact player in some form or fashion in the NHL next season, and I think that's why you take him. I mean, look, we saw what Gavin McKenna could do. You put him on a line on left wing with Austin Matthews. It's a pretty dynamic top line, if you ask me. And look, we watched it this season. McKenna needed half a season to understand what college hockey was like. I would assume there's going to be an adjustment period to the NHL. When I look at him from a physical standpoint, and as someone who covers the New Jersey Devils, you would probably know best on this, Jack Hughes was a similar size when he got to the NHL. And he needed two seasons, I would say, to fully understand what it takes to get to the NHL. And what did he do in his third season? He had the 90-plus point season, right?
Yes.
I think Gavin McKenna could be following along those lines, or maybe do it even a little bit faster. So I think with the right amount of patience, look, he doesn't have to come in and win the Calder Trophy next season and be Rookie of the Year. He just has to make an impact in a way that helps the Leafs kick this thing farther up the road. And 2-3 years from now, when he's fully developed, I think that's when you see the full skill set.
Yeah, absolutely. And the only difference between McKenna And the Hughes comparison is the fact that Hughes came right over from the national team development program, didn't play college hockey, and McKenna has a season under his belt of college hockey, so he knows what to maybe expect against those bigger, stronger players out there. So the other thing, real quick, and maybe we can touch on it a little bit, is what if the Maple Leafs did decide to take a defenseman? Just, you know, they're in need. They could in their pipeline to maybe take a Chase Reed, to maybe, you know, take a player off the board that is highly coveted in this draft. It's a possibility. I mean, we've seen mock drafts out there. You and I feel it's going to be McKenna, but I guess there's always that chance. Now, I don't know. Do you feel as though if the Maple Leafs determine that they want to target a defenseman, do you make a trade? And if that's in your mindset, is it even possible?
Well, I don't. Well, I think if they were to do that, if they were to say, you know, say Vancouver really wants McKenna, and I'm just using that as a supposition, no rumors or anything like that. They figure out a thing that works and Toronto goes to three. Well, then, yes, you then take the defenseman there. But to me, we've seen the defenseman. We've seen McKenna. We've seen Stenberg. I don't think there's a five. And you have to look at this 5-10 years from down the line.
Right.
Who's going to be the better player? Not today. Who's going to be the better player 5 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I think the best player in this draft class when we get to 2031 is going to be Gavin McKenna. So if you can get him, get him. I think you can overthink this process.
Yeah.
And Mark touched on it. Like, you can watch these guys so much where the normal become where the spectacular becomes normal and all you see are the warts. And I think there is a little bit of that with Gavin McKenna because he has been such one of the most watched prospects we've come across. You've seen him since he's 14. Well, now he's 18, and you've seen him do all these spectacular things. If he doesn't do them, well, then there's a problem. No, he's just a normal player who's going to be really good. Just like he said, tell me what he can do.
Yeah.
And here's the laundry list of things he can do and the way he can help your franchise. I think he helps your team more than any other player in this draft class as we look ahead 5 years.
Yep, and we're less than a month away from the NHL draft, Adam. And there are plenty of other episodes of the NHL draft class in case you missed them. We spoke to Gavin McKenna, Ivar Stenberg. It was a great episode with them. We also have an episode coming with the Ruck twins, which is going to be really fascinating. It was a lot of fun with Marcus and Liam Ruck, so that's another one. And, of course, you know, we had David Gregory on to discuss about the NHL Combine prior to getting here to Buffalo. You can listen to the Regional Scouts. We did the WHL with John Williams. We did the Q with JF Danfus. So a lot of other podcasts. If you missed them, check them out.
Absolutely. And stay tuned as we get closer to June 26th when the NHL draft is held here in Buffalo. We won't have to go too far. But for now, NHL draft class is dismissed.